Well, we are going to spend some time in God's Word now. I had asked Terry if she would teach on the subject of serving God. And before she teaches, I just thought that I'd mention that Terry, to me, is a great example of service. And love her lots. So, Terry?
Yeah, I thought when you were singing that song, Susan had everybody sing, you know, our dear ones. And I did, I thought of David in the Bible, and he called God his darling. And I thought, oh, that's so sweet. I thought, I don't even know what darling means, you know. And I looked it up, and it means one and only. And I thought that was so sweet. And sometimes I keep that in mind when I read the word, you know. Like today, we can, whatever's being taught, we can endeavor to more and more make God our darling. So, anyway, in light of service, please go to Proverbs chapter 1. And I thought of serving God. I looked up the words serve in Webster's, and it said to be useful, help. To render obedience. So if you have an idea of something you want to serve, you must have had an idea of why to do that. So, you know, you were led somewhere, for some reason, on why to serve. And then I thought, in light of, you know, serving God, he has done so much for us. And to me, I think respect is something that can be overlooked sometimes. You get so full of, you know, knowledge coming at you that you forget really what it is you're to respect sometimes as far as information coming your way. So when it comes to serving God, Proverbs lays it out right here in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It doesn't say the love of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says the fear of the Lord, the respect for him. And respect, and Webster's also says, it's higher special regard, feeling or understanding that someone is important and should be treated in an appropriate way. And this is an action that follows. You know, you can say, oh, I respect that, but your actions will not follow sometimes. You hear people say that, and their actions do not follow what they just said they respected. But when it comes to God, if you have respect for him, the beginning of that is knowledge, and knowledge of him. Go to Proverbs 19. I think that's just a great way to start, what the fear of the Lord is. You have to have a knowledge of him and what he's about, and learn to esteem that higher than what you thought he was. You just keep growing at it. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. It says, the fear of the Lord tends to life. Isn't that sweet? You respect God, that respect tends to life because God gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? So the fear of God tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. I think that's really sweet too. So all the more reason to want to esteem him, regard him, you know, like he's worthy of it, because he is. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. This is really great. And then verse 18, this is talking about how God would have a king to do. When somebody became king, this is what they were to do. In verse 18, it says, and it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. So I thought that was pretty neat too, just a reading of the word, you know, that will teach you the fear of the Lord. I mean, they had to write it out, and what does that do for you? When I do teaching, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I write my teaching. I said, because I just so want to get it in me. That's one way I learn. So I understand that if you write something down and you got to read it every day, you're going to start thinking about it, and you're going to all of a sudden start steaming that like it's worth it. Turn to Psalms 147. Pretty neat, right? There's always action to follow. Psalm 147 and verse 11. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. He takes pleasure in them that fear him. So for us to have respect for him and expect him to do good for us, that blesses God, to have that kind of expectation. Isn't that sweet? Just honestly, just esteeming him, putting him in high regard above all else, that really blesses him. Go to Psalm 69. And trust me, I got so reproved putting this together. I was thankful for that. Because sometimes we do know so much, but is it really a respect? And I found I hadn't, so I was like, I'm going to get busy. You know what I mean? But anyway, Psalm 69 and then verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. Thank God. Because I don't have an ox or a bullock. So I can sing praises to him, and that really blesses him. I'm serving him like that. What does God need? He wants our, just like we want his undivided attention, he wants ours too. So to sing songs to him with thanksgiving, wonderful. That's more than anything you could possibly physically give back to him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And this is, I know y'all know where I'm going, but it's the truth. Verse 6. But without believing, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe that he exists first in order to go to him. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look, that's how much he wants us to look to him. He'll even bless you back for seeking him. You know, that's really, I thought about it sometimes, like even with kids, you get so happy that they believe you, really believe you at times. You just, I feel like I want to reward Tessa for doing that a lot of times, you know. It thrills me. And that's exactly how God is. And he will bless you beyond just for going to him, seeking him out, and believing him. So a knowledge of him is really important. Go to Psalm 34. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Why? Because he's above all else. You know, even God magnified his word above all his name. You know what I mean? Here's God, and he goes, oh, yeah. You know, it's up here. And so we should be doing the same for ourselves. And then look what God will do for us. You know, just taste and see. Just give it a try. You know, put it on. Go walk out on it. Esteem that above all else going on in your life and see what happens. If it's really true about this, I think it's great. And then go to verse 11. It says, come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He will even teach you. You know what I mean? We're not lacking anything except a willingness to want to put that word on, seek him out, and let that word dwell in you. It's great. What man is he that desires life and loves many good days that he may see good? Here's a few tips. Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile, depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. That's what you do. That will really bless God. You want to serve him? Try those things. You know, let him really take care of you, keep you safe, keep you satisfied as that word dwells in you. And then I'm telling you, your darling will be up here. There will be, there you will have one and only. It's great. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. He's just so good. I mean, he in the Psalms and stuff, he paints pictures for you so that you can get it, that you understand it, and that's how loving he is. You know, they're not just do this, do that, do this, do that. He wants you to know part of why he wants you to do that. He wants you to enjoy doing that. And look at that. You see the picture I just painted? Yeah, look at that. You know what I mean? He's wonderful like that. Hebrews 4 and verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, have respect, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, it's important, you know, that when you hear the word, you do your best to believe it. You just keep going for it. And that there is a respect for that word. You know, it's just not something else to do with that. You esteem that higher than anything else you want to put in your head. And then verses 11 and 12. It says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Talking about the children of Israel. You know, God took such good care of them. And one man really got it, Moses. The other ones, they all benefited, but their perspective was they still wanted this, they still wanted that, they still wanted this. But meanwhile, who took care of them? Who provided good things for them to follow, good things for them to enjoy? And they still did not esteem him higher. They didn't take that word and go, yeah, all right, we're with you. We're there. You know, but Moses did. You know, and then because of one guy, all those guys, they were so taken care of. Pretty sweet. Yeah, and for the word of God, this is our word that we're, and our knowledge we're putting on. It's quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what that word will do for you. A knowledge of him, it will set it all good for you. Go to chapter 12 of Hebrews. And I love this. And verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In Walter's book, he translates it, wherefore, since we received an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace by which we may pleasingly serve God with reverence and profound respect. That's how we're to serve him. Isn't that neat? So, and all you have to do, again, is a knowledge of him. A knowledge of him. If you find you don't have respect for the word when you're hearing it, go spend time in it. You know, let your perspective change. Go to Proverbs 27. And in verse 19, it says, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. You get that, right? You've looked in the water, you've seen yourself, and you're like, you know what I mean? That's neat. So that's what God says, you know, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. You know, what's in your heart, it's gonna show. And so more importantly, go to 2 Corinthians. It's like when I first went to fellowship, the fellowship I went to, the guy that ran and taught the fellowship, he was just a country boy. You know, had a baseball cap, chewed, you know, tobacco, and hunched over, really skinny, you know, some teeth missing. And I thought, oh my gosh. My perspective was a census perspective. I thought, oh wow, okay, whatever. And this guy taught, I didn't see anything like that up there ever again. I came to fellowship, I was so happy to see that guy. I said, because of this verse, this is what this guy did for himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He took God at his word. Verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, like, you look in the mirror. What do you want to see when you look at it? When we look at each other, what do we want to see? You know, with reverence for God and showing him by believing him and his word, we will change. You'll see him differently. I saw that guy totally different. You know what I mean? And I didn't even know that much of the word, but what that guy shared with me, I saw the glory of the Lord. That's what I saw. So I can see that in myself as I keep doing that, making his word just the biggest thing going on in my life. And so, because we are the glory of the Lord, and that will draw people really closer to God or get to know God by what they see in us. And I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that's to be belittled. We do have flesh. I get all that. But really, this is what we get to enjoy, is a respect for him by knowing him, by having a great knowledge of who he really is, what he made us to be, and what he's able to do. You know, sometimes you feel like people don't listen to you, you know, or they're not esteeming you. Well, guess what? Put that on, you'll be the glory of the Lord. You'll see it. People will see it, and they're going to go, who's that guy? You know, or, oh, I like him. Oh, you see his long suit there. They'll see something wonderful, and people start paying attention to us. And if they don't, they lose out anyway, because God doesn't miss anything. But I thought, as far as serving God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a greater respect for him and his word, and, you know, and do it like it's in Hebrews, you know. I thought that was great. That's it.